Welcome to the CyberCube podcast. This episode is part of our Cyber Unlocked series, where we explore how different parts of the insurance industry approach cyber risk. I'm your host, Rihanna Mistry, content specialist at CyberCube, and today we're focusing on the broker's role in the cyber market, why adoption still lags, how to build client confidence, and the strategies that make a difference. I'm joined by two guests. It's a double Nate feature today. Nate Brink, Head of Broker Partnerships at CyberCube, and he will be leading the conversation with Nate Hansen, who heads up the cyber practice within Hub International's Pro X division. Thank you both for being here. Nate Brink, could you kick us off and tell us about your role at CyberCube?
Yeah, so my name is Nate Brink. I'm Head of Broker Partnerships here at CyberCube. My team at CyberCube, I lead a sales team, and what we're really focused on is helping brokers quantify and assess their client's cyber risk and help make insurance recommendations and ultimately try to help support a profitable and sustainable long-term cyber market. And with me today is my friend Nate Hansen with Hub International. So I'll hand it to you, Nate. If you could introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about what your role is at Hub and maybe a little bit about Hub and what you're doing with cyber.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's much appreciated. And Nate Hansen, I head up our cyber practice in a division that we have at Hub International called ProX, which, you know, everybody has their acronyms in terms of where they sit their management lines and cyber and errors and emissions coverage and things of that nature. ProX is ours. It was previously called MAPS. It's been in place for about 7-8 years now. I've been at Hub actually 5 years this September. So thanks for having me. Really looking forward to the conversation.
Absolutely. So let's dive right in. Today's topic, really we want to get at the heart of, is the role of the broker in this growing cyber market. And maybe we just start off initially here a little bit around the big question, right? So why aren't more businesses buying cyber insurance today? And maybe, Nate, you could just talk to us a little bit about some of the challenges or maybe some of the myths you want to bust when it comes to cyber insurance. Just tell us a little bit about what you guys are doing at Hub, what you find that maybe is working, what isn't working so well.
Yeah, I think a lot of the people that don't purchase cyber still consider it to be something that they're never going to get hit, right? They're never going to have an impactful cyber breach. And it seems to be, you know, multiple clients we've had in the past, whether they've decided not to purchase or maybe they did purchase. And then when, you know, the ransomware epidemic happened and the market really hardened in 2021, 2022, maybe did not purchase for a period of time. And then something happens to one of their direct competitors or something happens, you know, hopefully not, but to them, right? And that type of scare tends to drive purchasing again. And, you know, what we try to message is the stories that we hear, right? Now, certain industry classes think, yeah, well, I don't hold a lot of records, right? Manufacturers, they don't hold a lot of personal identifiable information, but a business interruption based on a significant breach can be really damaging to their bottom line. And so it really focusing on giving our clients and prospects the information that they need in order to be comfortable in purchasing, right? It's our job to get them comfortable to purchase, and we want to make sure that they are protected. That's the number one goal. We look into the certain carriers that we place, right? Are there good fits in terms of services that certain carriers can provide that might help them with their cybersecurity posture? Because there are a boatload of carriers out there that have a good lineup of things that they can help out with. And, you know, it's not only the price of the insurance program, but it's what you get with it. The claim support you get with it, right? From a vendor panel perspective, all these carriers obviously have their own vendor panels, and getting access to those and to the individuals that really know what they're doing from a cyber claim perspective, that's an important piece as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm curious to get your take. I know we've talked about this in the past a little bit, but let's talk about small businesses versus large enterprises, if you will, and just how that conversation looks a little bit different. And just to give a little bit of context, you know, if you were to look globally right now today, based on studies that CyberCube has done in the market and a lot of our partners in the carrier and reinsurer space, when you look at a large business, and let's just say $1 billion in revenue and above, generally speaking, we see 80% or so penetration. 80% of those companies are carrying cyber insurance today. So good portion of that market, right? Now, when we go down to more of the SMB, small and medium business segment, if you were to look globally, the number's closer to about 20%. And then if you were to even take out the US, it's more about in the single digits. So let's just talk about small and medium businesses for a second. How does that conversation maybe look different versus the one that's taking place with a large enterprise organization? We'd love to hear some of your experience and just how that's being approached today at Hub and what that looks like.
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the head, right? From the large company perspective, you have much more robust cybersecurity programs. And when we have discussions with risk managers, CFOs, they look at it as a bucket, right? Insurance is part of their overall cybersecurity spend. So they look at it in conjunction with each other. Now, when you get to the smaller side, obviously less robust cybersecurity controls. And Hub is one of the, we pride ourselves on being, you know, middle market's our sweet spot, right? It's our job to make those companies comfortable with what they're doing. And, you know, I think from a cybersecurity perspective, a lot of the companies look at the requirements that go with obtaining a meaningful cyber insurance program and maybe sometimes get scared away by the costs that can accumulate as well as obviously the insurance spend itself. So it really is taking a look at what these packages are that carriers are offering to make sure that when you're dealing with middle market companies, that you're not presenting this in a way that says, yeah, you got to put multi-factor authentication in place in five different areas. You got to put managed detection and response in place. And they're going to look at you and say, well, that's going to cost me $50,000, $60,000. We can't do that, right? And it's making sure that you understand who you're dealing with and figuring out from the perspective of what can be offered and what is absolutely necessary to make sure that from that overall cybersecurity spend, they can get comfortable with it, right? We have internal surveys that we do here at Hub, and every time, right, technology and cyber is in that top three things that risk managers think is going to be top of mind the following year. And so I think risk managers understand that they want to do it, but they don't always feel comfortable with going down the route of what they need to do to purchase, as well as the cost of insurance, and also getting the limits that they actually feel they need to be protected.
Yeah. So curious, what have you found to be successful of turning those non-buyers into buyers at Hub?
I think a lot of the successes go with showing the clients, and again, our partnership with CyberCube has been very impactful in this. It's showing the clients what their losses could look like. And then also kind of what peers are purchasing in that regard as well, to give the ammo to the decision makers at the company to say, yeah, let's go forward with the cyber. Mm-hmm. A lot of times too, right? We have middle market companies that have cybersecurity folks within their company or third parties that might be a little hesitant to say, yeah, we need cyber insurance. I think there's kind of a stigma there that says, yeah, we're buttoned up. We're never going to get hit, because they understandably think they're doing a great job. And most of the time they really are. But it's the point where you don't really want cyber insurance to be kind of a substitute for good controls. You want it to be there, because we all know that bad actors, even with the best controls in place, they can get in.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we talk about behavior so much here at CyberCube too, you know, as part of the picture, right? You know, a large organization, you have more employees that are logging in to their email every day. There's more opportunities there to click on a link that you shouldn't, right? And so making more of the just employees aware of these organizations, aware of the different threats is so important.
And with their eye too, right, Nate, the phishing scams, we're gone from the days of paying foreign princes, right? You know, we're getting phishing scams that look like a Comcast energy bill. It looks exactly like it.
Right.
And it's something that reasonable people can't get duped. And it's really the protection. When we say that to our clients too, right? Making sure your employees are really focused on not clicking on those types of links, making sure that they're being careful in looking at emails and trying to decipher which could be fake and which are real. I think it's something that the phishing knowledge is definitely enhanced where it was 4 or 5 years ago. And it makes sense that more people know to look for it because it's getting better in terms of what those bad actors are able to do.
Well, what would a cyber podcast be without talking about artificial intelligence? So I'm glad we looped in AI to the conversation here. No doubt making it much more opportunistic and adding much more scale, especially for threat actors that can leverage artificial intelligence. And we especially see that the small and medium businesses tend to be the victims of a lot of those attacks. They just tend to have a lot less resources, as highlighted in our recent global threat briefing. I want to talk to you a little bit about just the role of generalists and specialists in the insurance industry. Could you tell us a little bit about what that looks like and the role of, you know, a specialist broker versus a generalist, maybe producer, and how we can help maybe the conversation flip from being more reactive to maybe more proactive, and what do you think that could look like?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And it's one of the reasons why we created ProX, is to have that specialty group within Hub that all we're doing on a daily basis, we have designated brokers that are just focused on cyber technology, errors and omissions, media liability, things like that. We have 11 folks in our central and west region that I head up as well, that's all we do, right? And it's important when we have a ton of offices across the country. Hub's very acquisitive, right? We have a lot of smaller offices that we acquire, and they're producers who are out there trying to drive up the business and may not know cyber all that well, right? We hear stories about how, yeah, we just don't go and sell much of it because it's very hard for us to explain. It makes an impact when we're able to get on calls with, you know, someone out in Oklahoma from a producer standpoint that says, yeah, we've been trying to get this client to purchase cyber for 5 years and they've been hesitant. And we say, let's get on the phone with them. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about why we think that, at least from an introductory policy perspective, get something in place to make sure you're accessing some of these resources that come with a standalone cyber policy. Make sure you have access to the forensics firms and the breach counsel that really, if you get hit, you're going to want to know those folks. We want to make sure that our producers, our people here at Hub, have the resources to be comfortable in going and selling cyber, especially with it being so important right now and on the top of mind in terms of what company executives are worried about from a technology and cyber perspective. And so arming our folks with specialists has really made an impact here. And it really allows our offices to feel comfortable not only going after, right, those middle market clients, but going after larger clients that they might not have felt comfortable talking about cyber with in the past.
Absolutely. So those producers, ultimately, they got to go out. They need to find new clients, be able to talk really confidently about a lot of different lines of insurance. And so really,
so many.
You guys are coming in and trying to help fill that gap ultimately with a combination of your expertise and technology. Curious, you know, you mentioned CyberCube and different ways that you can kind of highlight the loss impact, giving a real world example of what, you know, cyber incident could look like for a business. Is there anything that you feel like we as an industry need to do better, you know, in just helping these producers who are kind of at the front end of having that conversation go out and have that conversation, right? Be more comfortable in talking about cyber.
Yeah, I almost think it's on the producers at this point a little bit because, you know, cyber, we're not at the stage anymore where we were in the 2010s where it was a newer line of coverage. It really is on the producers to be able to, you know, if they're not going to utilize resources within certain brokerages, to really focus on it. Now is the time. Right? Now it's past the time. And obviously, with what we saw from 2020 to 2022, I mean, I always talk about this in terms of, you know, when you're talking about ransomware on a daily basis in presidential briefings, that's the time where, from a producer standpoint, we need to be, and, you know, from a broker standpoint, everybody, we need to be focusing on really educating our clients on cyber, so they're making the proper decisions. Certain companies say they might not hold a lot of PII, personally identifiable information. They might not feel that their business interruption risk is significant. They might say, okay, I don't think the exposure is great. That's fine. We want to give them all of the information to be able to help make that decision from a purchasing perspective, whether or not to purchase, or from where CyberCube comes in, from a limits discussion. What is the right limit for us? What should we be purchasing? That's a question that we get multiple times a day. And one of the reasons why we partnered with you guys is to be able to have something that goes beyond just a peer benchmarking because we don't feel that companies should make decisions on what limits to purchase based on what other companies are doing. Like, they should be making decisions based on their own individual exposures, which is where we have some internal analytics that go a little bit broader than what CyberCube does. But CyberCube has been phenomenal for us in helping our clients understand what a loss could look like.
Yeah, absolutely. So just looking out into the future a little bit in terms of the cyber insurance market and Hub, what do you think success looks like for Hub in 3 years from now or 5 years from now? Like, what would you like to see happen, whether it's client uptake or producers, process, strategy around cyber? Curious to get your thoughts. What's the future hold for Hub and cyber?
I think our job is really to just convert as many non-buyers to buyers as we can. That's our goal, is to make sure that the companies that do need the coverage have access to it, right? They have the ability to get meaningful quotes, to be able to consider. Then the company's individual decision whether or not to go forward and purchase the coverage. But it's our job to really get them the option, get them the risk quantification, the loss quantification to look at and say, just so you know, we're seeing that 95% of the time or 5% of the time, a loss could exceed $5 million. You're not purchasing right now. What's that going to do to your bottom line if you have a cyber incident that creates a $7, $8 million loss, right? And it's making sure that we focus our efforts on improving the ability for our clients to make informed and appropriate decisions on cyber. Not only the non-buy. You know, someone could be purchasing a $100 million tower that doesn't need a $100 billion tower. We show them loss quantification and says, yeah, you should be purchasing actually $40 million. We want to have that discussion with them because they can then take some insurance spend and maybe focus it towards where they have a greater exposure, whether it be a property exposure, D&O, et cetera. As we discussed, there are so many lines of insurance that we're dealing with. We want to make sure that not only we're looking at cyber from that risk quantification perspective, but making sure that the spend across lines makes sense and they're actually putting their insurance dollars in the right lines of insurance.
As you guys take them through that process, what's the client feedback been?
They love the modeling. They find it to be very helpful in being able to explain to their bosses why they need a certain amount of insurance. And that's the key, is making sure that the people that we deal with on a daily basis are comfortable in going to their superiors and saying, yeah, we recommend doing X because this is what a loss could look like. This is what peers are purchasing. And this is what we feel from an exposure basis really could cripple our business. And this is just one of the ways that we help our clients be informed purchasers. And that's the key. We don't just want people purchasing a certain amount of cyber just to purchase a certain amount of cyber. We want them to be able to make informed decisions. And CyberCube is one of the tools that's helped us do that.
Yeah, that's a really cool example there as well, because my team, we talk to brokers every week. And one of the things we constantly hear is about what was the first experience or reason for a new business or a new buyer to purchase cyber insurance. And we either hear it was because something happened to one of their competitors, they saw something in the news, or a contract requirement is generally one of the number one triggers, right? So they're maybe a small tech company and they're working with a larger organization and they're looking to win a contract to do business with them. That larger business wants to protect their interests and they're going to require that smaller company, right, to carry a certain amount of insurance, cyber insurance. And the next call they make is to their broker, right? So they're calling their producer maybe or their account manager and asking them, hey, help us get cyber insurance. And so while that first year we hear tends to be maybe, hey, we're buying cyber insurance because we had to, the broker can then maybe shift that mindset in future years as they come up for renewal around, hey, this is more than just fulfilling a contract requirement or checking a box. This is about risk management. Curious if you guys hear that often too at Hub.
Absolutely. And the contractual requirement purchase is something that happens frequently. And we have the conversation come up when maybe 2-3 years down the road, when that contract expires, the client comes to us and says, well, we've been purchasing this for 3 years. Why should we continue to purchase it now that we don't have this contractual requirement anymore? we tell them, we look at the modeling, we look at studies of claims in their industry. And the discussion actually is easy because of the fact that over that 2 to 3 years, they've taken advantage of some of the services that the carriers are providing and like, right? They're taking advantage of vulnerability scanning capabilities. They're taking advantage of having discussions and having relationships with forensics firms and breach counsel, right? And they say, okay, we've learned now that while we just purchased cyber previously just to fulfill a contract, it's something that we need and need to continue to have. And so those discussions, and some, you know, we get sometimes where they say, yeah, contract's done. We don't want the coverage anymore, right?
Yeah.
So that happens. That happens. But it's, you know, it's our job to, while we're continuing that journey of purchasing cyber insurance, to continue to educate them on why they need it. Because it's my opinion that if you're relying on a network to do business in any capacity, you need cyber insurance. Or if you're relying on not only your network, but somebody else's network in order to do business efficiently, yeah, you need cyber insurance.
So true. So true. Yeah, we just saw this recently. I think it was United Natural Foods in the news, you know, suffered a cyber attack, large food distributor and supply to a ton of Whole Foods, you know, retail grocery chains, for example. And because their systems went down, they were unable to fulfill orders and Whole Foods saw a shortage of different products on their shelves. So you're 100% right. The business interruption and the supply chain effect is super real.
And we saw that in 2024, all the third-party outages, breaches that occurred with Change Healthcare and CDK and PowerSchool, right? Those were things that impacted a significant number of clients. It's that potential, it's getting our clients and prospects to understand that it's not just you that you need to worry about with your business in terms of being able to function. It's who you do business with. And if it's a significant partner that you rely on to do business and they go down, you're just as impacted, even if you don't have the breach.
Right. So what would you tell somebody that maybe is more junior to cyber, starting their cyber insurance journey, let's say a broker, an underwriter, what would you recommend they do to get more upskilled in cyber and just be more effective?
Read, listen. You know, I mean, there's so many good webinars on cyber. There's so many good claims reports and studies out there. It really is just getting knowledgeable about what is going on. I tell my team this in our monthly meetings. You know, when I send you reports to look at, I'm not asking you to be up to speed on every single ransomware gang that's out there and the tactics they use. But I want you to be aware that there are an increasing number of ransomware gangs out there that are utilizing new and different tactics that when we have discussions with our clients, we can say, yeah, ransomware is evolving. We've gone from, you know, over the last couple of years, locking down the system, paying the ransom, be able to get the keys back to that data exfiltration, right? Model again, where they're taking the data, holding it hostage, and then seeking the ransom to do that. So the progression of ransomware, the fact that social engineering events continue to evolve, right? We've talked AI, the claim stories I'm hearing in terms of employees of a company following protocols, getting that extra step of authentication for the payment to go out. And who's on the other line? What appears to be a video of somebody or an audio of somebody that is within the company tends to be the bad actor. And there's one claim I heard where it was so thought out from the bad actor's perspective that they had on a weekend, knowing that the CEO would have been home, they had somebody who looked like the CEO's wife walk by the screen at his house. I mean, it's unbelievable with AI, what we're seeing in terms of the spoofs and the bad actors finding new and unique ways to monetize their criminal activity. And so I would suggest to those younger brokers, just read up on what's going on. Be aware of the events that occur in the news to be able to say and provide real life examples when we're on the phone with clients talking about cyber. Those real life examples, being able to compare it to something that has happened. We mentioned it. A lot of people purchase because of something that happened to one of their competitors. Providing those real life circumstances gets the company thinking, well, it's a really good point. I think we should purchase. And that's what we want, obviously, as brokers, to sell insurance. That's what we're supposed to do. But we want to make sure that our, again, that our clients are making the best decisions for themselves with the best information available.
Yeah. And this feels like there's such an importance of your role too, Nate, like having specialists at a brokerage, helping these folks that are maybe more generalist or more junior in cyber is so critical. I think of like coverage wording and just making sure clients have the right coverages. You know, I hear the topic of social engineering come up so often now, and just the different wording around making sure that we have the definition of the right type of fraudster is in there and things like that. So I have to imagine that having someone that a producer can go to, like yourself, the ProX team, is super beneficial for them. And that's probably a huge opportunity for them to learn, you know, and ultimately be more effective when they're going to have that conversation with a client.
No question about it. And that's why we exist.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, when Dave Garrigus, who is my boss and leads ProX overall from in North America, you know, when Dave came over about 6-7 years ago here to Hub, that was the vision, right? Is making sure that we have something that people can really sink their teeth in, really start to utilize and help them get in those discussions with their clients to allow them to be able to use something, right? That we have people here that know cyber. All we do is cyber on a day-to-day basis, rather than the producer who may sell one cyber policy a month and is just focused on property and your auto. But the fact that the cyber premiums are cheap, right? It's a good driver of growth and something that, you know, we have a large focus on here at Hub of trying to drive organic growth in cyber.
Well, Nate, I really appreciate you taking some time to have this conversation with me today. And a few takeaways from me, what I'm hearing is, one, just the importance of the role of the broker in helping businesses better assess and understand their cyber risk and ultimately be able to make a better insurance decision as part of their overall risk management strategy. And then also just staying up to date on the threats, right? The threat landscape is continuously evolving and making sure we're helping our clients, being the insurance industry, but also help you advising your clients, businesses, whether they be small or large organizations, understand the unique threats that their organizations are facing is really important.
Well, thanks for having me, Nate. Really appreciate it. And I love what you guys are doing over there at CyberCube.
Thank you for listening to the CyberCube podcast, where we break down cyber risk, insurance, and everything in between. If you enjoyed today's conversation, make sure to subscribe on your preferred listening platform and tune in for the next episode. And don't forget to check out www.cybercube.com or find us on LinkedIn or X for extra content and updates. Until next time, stay informed, stay resilient, and keep shaping the future of cyber insurance.